Amen. Go with me, please, to Mark 11. Very familiar passage. It's what I call one of our pillars of faith. But I'm going to share verse 23 and 24 out of the Contemporary English Version, or the CEV. And this is, of course, when Jesus was going into Jerusalem. He went to a fig tree that should have had something to eat on it and didn't, and Jesus cursed it. And when they came back, the disciples noticed it, and they were surprised, and Jesus was responding to their comments about it. He said, if you have faith in God and don't doubt, you can tell this mountain to get up and jump into the sea, and it will. Everything you ask for in prayer will be yours if you only have faith. Very simple scripture, very powerful scripture, and it's one that we all haven't quite gotten a hold of because there's too much worrying, there's too much stress, there's too much stuff going on among us as believers, as children of the Most High God, because it appears that our faith isn't up to task. Now don't tune me out now. Just listen. I don't do beat up messages. I do build up messages. But let's take a good look at what Jesus is saying to us in that scripture. First thing he says is have faith in God. Why did he say that? Well, obviously, or apparently, there are a lot of other things we could place our faith in. And Jesus is letting us know, yes, I understand that there are a lot of things, a lot of places, a lot of circumstances that you can place your faith in, but I'm telling you, place your faith in God. Second thing it tells us is don't doubt. Don't be uncertain. Don't be unsure. Don't lack confidence. Don't consider that it's unlikely. So if you don't consider that it's unlikely, then you must be considerate that it's very likely that what you just said will happen because you believed it. So he's saying, have faith in God, don't doubt. Speak and it will happen. Ask and you shall receive. Now, that seems very, very simple, but they're very, very powerful statements. Have faith in God, don't doubt, speak and it will happen, ask and you shall receive. So, where's the issue? What's the challenge with that? Well, the problem, as I see it, I'll say it this way. It's not due to erroneous teaching or weak teaching. It's due to believers having weak faith. And the reason we have weak faith is we're not using it. Right now, I can pick up my iPad, toss it around. One, it's very light, but secondly, I've been carrying it. I can pick up the stand. Ooh, this is a little heavier. But I could just rock the stand, not pick it up. Why? Because I haven't been doing it. I haven't been going around picking up this stand and carrying it around. So I'm not used to it. I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not sure I can do it. So if you say to me, move this stand, I may have that initial ego boost and say, yeah, I can. Looks kind of heavy. Kind of big. I don't know. I thought I could do it. Maybe I should have been able to do it, but I'm not so sure I want to do this. Why? Because I haven't. Do I have the muscles to do it? Yes, I do. Do I have the knowledge of how to do it? Yes, I do. Why don't you do it? I don't know. And that's how we find ourselves in that I don't know position, because we haven't been using our faith, and so we're not sure if our faith has the chops to do what it was designed to do. And we have to get to the point where we're sure, and the only way we're going to do it is that when we hear things, when Jesus tells us things, that we just do it. When I was an athlete, I had a love-hate relationship with practice. Like Allen Iverson, we're talking about practice. But I found out the harder I practiced, the better I was in games. And our practices among the team, if you ever watched us practice, you would think that everybody was mad at each other because we held nothing back. If you went to the basket, you got hit. And if you missed the layup, because you got hit, you ran laps. Because the goal was to be able to execute, even though you may get fouled. You execute the game plan. So when I move over into Christianity, I see the same thing. If I want to have faith to accomplish all that God wants me to accomplish, I have to get with his game plan, and I have to start executing. I have to stop considering the adversary and place all of my faith, all of my hope, all of my trust in what Jesus told me I can do. Because if I don't do it, what I'm saying is he didn't tell the truth. Look at Philippians 4. I'm in the King James. I'll be in several other translations throughout the message. Not to impress anybody, but just to get a better understanding. Philippians 4:9, King James Version. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. See, one of the reasons that our faith may not be up to where it should be is because we don't do what we've been taught to do. And when we don't do, we don't give our faith a chance. I'll show you that in a little bit. But if you don't do what you've been taught, you have no proof that you can do it. See, the reason I was so sure our plays would work during the game is because they worked in practice. And our practices were more intense than the games. So if it worked in practice, it would work in the game if we executed it the way we were supposed to. And it's no different. Same principles is there with our faith. If we execute it like we're supposed to, it will do what it was given to us to do. But it's not on our faith. It's on us using it. Using it. Because if you don't do it, when game time comes, you're not ready. And unlike athletic events, you can't always be sitting on the bench when you're a believer. You're right in the middle of the action. So we have to be ready. We have to have confidence that we can compete, that we can hang, that we can do better than compete and hang. We can win. The Message Bible, same verse, Philippians 4:9, says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the boastful, not the ugly, things of to praise, not to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. The Amplified Bible. Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being, will be with you. Listen to it in the Bible in basic English. The things which came to you by my teaching and preaching and which you saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. He's saying, everything that you see me do, you do. And you'll have the same peace that I have. The Weymouth translation. The doctrines and the lines of conduct which I taught you, both what you heard and what you saw in me, hold fast to them, and God who gives peace will be with you. See, I believe we would overcome every single challenge we face if we would just do these things, do those things that we have been taught to do. Just do them. It's not complicated. It's very simple. As a matter of fact, if we get to the point where we just do it, it's even more simple. It's simpler. In James 2, verses 18 to 20, says, but someone might object and say, one person has faith and another person has works. Go ahead then and prove to me that you have faith without works. In other words, saying, show me you have faith by not doing anything. He says, then I'll show you faith by my works as proof that I believe. Faith is proof that you believe. Faith is proof that you believe. He said, yeah, but I don't have faith. No, you don't have belief. Because if you believed everything that Jesus said, you'd have faith. Because you believe. And because you believe, you act based on what you believe. Says, I'll show you my faith, but faith by my works as proof that I believe. You can believe all you want that there's one true God. That's wonderful. But even the demons know this and tremble with fear before him, and yet they are unchanged. They remain demons. And so it says, O feeble sons of Adam, do you need further evidence that faith, divorced from good works, is phony? Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And that's a strong way of saying, if you're not doing anything, it's because you don't have any faith. Because if you had faith, you would do what faith demands. When we have faith, we should be doing things. But think about it. What happens when you do things, especially when you do things successfully? Does your confidence level stay the same, or does it grow? It grows, doesn't it? And the more you do, the more you feel like you can do. And the more you feel like you can do, you start looking for areas to exercise your faith. Because your confidence gets so big, and you start developing a track record of success, your faith is going to soar. And guess what's going to soar with it? You. You will. But you have to have faith. In Matthew 17, verses 19 to 20 in the King James Version, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast them out? And that's after Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And a father walked up to him and asked Jesus to wanted to heal his son, because he said, I took them to your disciples and they couldn't do anything. They couldn't help him. And Jesus just cast the demon out. And later on in the evening, the disciples came back to Jesus and they said, why could we not cast them out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith, now think about that statement. If someone comes to you and says, if you had faith, what are they saying really? Aren't they saying that you don't have any? They're not saying if you had a little more faith. They said, if you had faith. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And listen to this, folks, nothing shall be impossible unto you.
nothing.
Well, I don't believe that. That's why you don't have, that's why everything seems to be impossible. But we were created. Jesus died, went to hell, rose on the third day, so that nothing could be, one of the reasons was so that nothing could be impossible for us. We will only act on that which we believe we can handle. If you don't believe you can handle it, you won't do anything. Remember what we read in Philippians 4:9? I know we read several translations, but in the Message Bible, it said, put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that. In order to do that, you have to believe that the things which you've seen and heard, you believe. Because I see a lot of things that I don't believe. Because a lot of the things that I see are not godly things. And so, no, I'm not going to believe that. Several years ago, when our youngest son was in the Army, and they were about ready, he's about to do his first tour over in Iraq, and they got all right. I don't know what the term is when they get ready to go to battle. And then it, you know, they were told to stand down. And I was speaking to his captain, and the captain was concerned because they weren't being deployed. You know, his captain said it'd been better for them to be deployed and go. And I said, why? He said, they were scheduled to go, and they were prepared and ready to go. Now it was canceled. And his concern was they started partying and doing other things. So if they got another call right away that they're ready to go, they wouldn't be ready. And as I talked with him, it made sense. He said one of the worst things that can happen to a soldier is leave. I said, well, why is that the worst thing? Leave, you get to go home. He said, that's why. He said, years ago, when they were overseas and they got leave, they got on a ship and took a week or two to get them home. By that time, they was like dematerialized with all the military training and thinking, and that edge has subsided. So now they're on leave. They're hanging out with their family, their children. They're going to Great Adventure or Six Flags or wherever they go, and then they come back. But again, they used to come back on a cruise, on a boat, 2 weeks. They have time to get themselves back into battle mode. It's not like that now. They get on a plane, and in 6-7 hours, they're back home. They haven't, they're still in a military mindset, and just when they're starting to get out of that military mindset and get into a civilian mindset, it's time to go back. It's time to go back. And he said a lot of casualties, well, he said many casualties happen when they, and soon after they come back, because they don't have that edge. I had never thought of it like that before. When we don't do those things that we've seen and heard, that were taught to us by godly people, listening to the Holy Ghost, we lose that spiritual edge. We lose it. That's why Paul wrote, put into practice what you've learned from me, that you heard, what you heard, saw, and realized. And he said, do that. In Joshua 1, God gives some interesting instructions. King James Version. To see what God was really saying, because I really wanted to go just to Joshua 1:8, but I have to start at verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, That's key right there. Moses, my servant, is dead. He didn't say, take 2 weeks and mourn his loss. Or it's okay if you guys just sit and chill for about a month and we'll take care of, you know, you regain things. I'll explain some things to you. He didn't say that. He said, Moses is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give them, even the children of Israel. So he said, Moses is dead. No, I'm not putting you into training. You're going to get up and you're going to lead these people over this Jordan River to a land that I gave them. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river to Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. This is what he was saying. You will lead the people into the land that I, God, have given them. I have given every place the soles of your foot touches. No man will be able to stand before you. Just think about that. No man will be able to stand before you. That wherever the soles of your feet touch, not I will give you, I have given you. Now, me, I fall on my knees and say, thank you for giving me, blessing me with size 16 shoes. Because every time I step, I get a big chunk of land in these puppies. And it doesn't matter what I face going into the land, because my God has already told me that no man will ever be able to stand before me. He didn't tell me to tiptoe through the tulips. He told me to walk across the land. But there's more. You don't stand immobile when you have that kind of assurance. When God said no man will be able to stand before you, then you don't care who you face. You'll almost feel sorry for them. That was one thing I used to say when I was out there. I'd look at the person, I'd say, you know what? Why don't you go on about your business before you get hurt? Because I don't want to hurt you. But if we keep this up, I'm going to have to. You don't cower in fear when you have an assurance like that. And you certainly don't stand immobile like, oh, I'm so afraid, my legs can't move. Why? You have an assurance from God. He said, no man will be able to stand against you. He said, I've given you the land. He didn't say, I'm going to give you. He said, I've given it to you. He just wants you to walk through and see what you already have. If you believe what God says and you believe it's already yours, you'll do what he said. You'll treasure what he said. You'll value what he said. You'll embrace what he said. And you'll run with what he said. He told them in verses 6 to 8, he told them it'll take strength and courage, and that we have to continually meditate on his word with the intent to do all that it said. So he's telling us in those verses 6 to 8 that we have to continually meditate on his word. Why? We have to keep reminding ourselves of what he said he's already done for us. Why is that important? Because circumstances are going to pop up to try and say otherwise. But you have to have your thoughts fixed. I don't care what comes up. I don't care what attacks. I don't care how it tries to make me feel differently, or as we like to say, feel some kind of way. I don't care about feelings. I'm full of faith in what my God has said. And he said, no man is going to stand before me. He says, as he was with Moses, he will be with me. All I have to do is be strong and very courageous. And do all at the, that the word says. And it's also telling me that I may not accomplish doing all. Because it says, with this verse says, with the intent to do all. So everything that I read concerning God's word, when I convert it to action, my purpose is to do all. Sometimes I might not make it, but my intent is to do all that's written therein. And in that process, I'll make my way prosperous. In that process, I'll have good success. How do you get all that, Pastor? By doing what God said. So just doing it. In 2 Timothy, I wanted to read the scripture earlier. I went over it, so I'm going to read it to you now. This is the People's New Testament. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. The soldier to do good service must devote himself entirely to the soldier's life, giving up worldly affairs. So the soldier, like Timothy, engaged as a minister, should have no other business. No other business than doing what God has called us to do. That should be our business. Someone says, mind your business. I am. If you have any other business than God's business, it will affect your belief. And you won't do what good soldiers do. The scripture in Philippians 4:9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. I took the time to look up that word do. And for time's purpose, I'm going to read that scripture using some of the words, the definitions for do. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, exercise, be busy with them, carry on. Those things which thou hast both learned, received, and heard in me and seen in me, undertake. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, perform. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, perpetuate. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, manage. And those things that you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, transact as you would public business. All those definitions of do. Those things which you have heard and seen, both learned and received and heard in me, do. Act on them. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say those things which you have both learned and received and heard in me, think about. It doesn't say sit down and think about. Ponder it. Doesn't say that. It says do it. Why? Nothing's going to happen but with you thinking about it. Nothing's going to happen with you talking about it. Because you're sitting down thinking and sitting down talking when you should be moving and doing. By the time, you don't know how much time you've wasted thinking about it. There are things, there's some things that we've been thinking about doing, thinking about for a couple of years, when we should be just doing it. Unbelief, going back to Matthew 17, unbelief prevented those disciples from doing what they'd seen and heard. They didn't believe they could do it. In one translation, Jesus said, because you're not yet taking God seriously. And I believe he said that because if they were taking God seriously, they would believe everything that Jesus told them, and they would have been able to cast that devil out of that boy. Now, mind you, that whole scenario took place after they received the revelation that they are the church, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. After that, they encountered the demon, and they acted like they never heard that revelation. In Galatians 1, 15 and 16, it seems like this scripture is out of place, but it's not. It said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, he called me by his grace to reveal the Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Then it says, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. The reason it's not out of place is because the Apostle Paul was telling them, when you get a revelation from God, you act on it immediately. You don't sit down and discuss it. He's saying, I conferred not with flesh and blood, which lets you know if you need further clearance, then you go into prayer and you ask the one who gave you the revelation, which is God via the Holy Spirit. He's saying, when you receive revelation, don't discuss it with other humans. Just act on it. Just do it. Now, this is what I was thinking about. Faith comes by hearing. But if you confer with flesh and blood instead of just doing based on your revelation, flesh and blood will keep telling you how what you believe is God's plan for you may not work. Because flesh and blood thinks logically. God's revelation defies logic. Flesh and blood may tell you, I know some folks that tried the same thing 2 years ago and they didn't do it. They didn't make it either. And they believe just like you believe. Or maybe they laid hands on someone and the person still died. And they said, well, this laying on of hands don't work. You don't know what the other person's will is. Your job is to lay hands in faith. That means you don't lay hands on with a maybe. When God reveals himself to you, when God gives you instructions, don't think about it. Don't even discuss it. Just do it. Just do it. When he gave us the Great Commission in Mark 16, he said, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So before he gave them the Great Commission, he had to get them right with their faith. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, this next part is strong. These signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that have faith. They shall cast out, in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Who was Jesus talking about in those script, those passages. He was talking about believers. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. So I don't think it's erroneous to say these signs will follow them that have faith. If you have faith in God and don't doubt, you could tell this mountain to get up and jump into the sea, and it will. Everything you ask for in prayer will be yours if you only have faith. Jesus said, if you believe, you'll cast out devils, you'll speak with new tongues, you'll take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. You'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What I noticed about that, he didn't say you will cast out devils or you will take up serpents or you might speak with new tongues. He said, these signs, you will cast out devils. You will. You will speak with new tongues. Nothing will hurt you. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Jesus was speaking to people about people filled with faith. And if you want to have that kind of faith, find out what God said concerning you and just do it. Just do it. Father, we thank you. Thank you for giving us such a simple but a power-packed word to let us know that we already have the ability to accomplish everything that you want us to accomplish, because you said you've given to every man the measure of faith. So you've given me what I needed to work with. And as I work with it, Father, I'll get better at it because my confidence levels will soar. And my acts of faith will explode. And we thank you, Father, to know that we can have that kind of faith. And not only know that we can, but we do. It's available to us. So we thank you that the Holy Ghost will remind us of this message, will give us further revelation, and point out opportunities that we have to use our faith for you to accomplish your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just before you go, just two things I need to do. First one, I talked a lot about having faith in God, having faith in Christ, and the things we can do in Jesus' name. But in order to do that, you have to have Jesus living in your heart. You have to have received him. You have to make your own conscious choice to receive Christ as your Savior. You can't receive him as my Savior. But you can receive him, and you want to receive him as your Savior. And it's not a hard process. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's make this confession together. Father God, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I believe you went to hell in my place, and I believe that after spending 3 days in hell, you were raised from the dead. So Jesus, I'm asking you, come into my heart, into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. Well, friends, if you prayed that prayer tonight, and it's your first time praying it and meaning it, according to the Word of God, you just got born again. And the next thing we'd invite you to do is to contact us. We put the information up on the screen, email, mail, phone, carrier pigeon, you know, whatever you need, contact us. Let us know that you prayed with us tonight and you received Christ, and we'll send you some free information to help you understand who you've become in Christ and what are your next step. What's the next step that you want to take? And if you have any questions about anything we shared tonight, use the same contact information and contact me. I promise I will return the contact. Probably won't be the same day I get it, but it'll be soon after that. But know that you contact me, I will respond.